Last Sunday, the theme of the sermon was the table. Were you blessed by that? The table? The table? We actually had a table here, and there was some food, and in one of the services, I grabbed a grape and threw it out. And I heard someone came back to church this week just because I did that. They're like, this church is crazy. The pastor's throwing grapes out at people. I was wishing that as I threw it out, somebody was trying to would try to catch it with their mouth like a shark. That would have been cool. Praise the Lord. But you just never know what God's going to use. Amen. He'll use a burning bush. He'll even use a donkey. Praise the Lord. And so it was a great Sunday, the table. And I thought, you know what? Let's keep it going. I think that this message title at least has some legs to it. Wow. Remind me to you say that again in the next service. We're going to do table part two. Praise God. And I thought we could do anything. I was thinking, what could I talk about? I could talk about Jesus flipping over the table. That would have been sweet. But we got rid of the table, so we're not going to talk about that. We're doing table part duh, the leftovers. Everybody say the leftovers. Come on, the leftovers. Anybody got some Easter dinner leftovers still in their fridge? Anybody like that? Praise the Lord. I had leftovers last night. And we're going to read a passage of scripture today out of Mark chapter 6. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and grab it. Hold it up in the air if you brought your Bible to church. Yes, yes, yes. Real Bibles only. Fake Bibles, put them down. Real Bibles only. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's a real leather gold edition. Praise. That's limited edition right there. That's StockX Bible right there. Hallelujah. Mark 6, chapter 30. We're going to go ahead and read it together. We're just going to go through the scriptures and pull out what God has to say for us. Is that cool? All right. This is the passage of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Anybody familiar? It's a good one. And it is, in fact, apart from the resurrection, it is the only miracle that's actually recorded in all four of the Gospels. And so to me, that says that the Gospel writers considered this of great significance, okay? So we're going to read this together. Say, got it if you got it. It says, the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour. Everybody say ministry tour. That's fancy. And told him all that they had done and that they had taught. And Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. A lot of our leaders and volunteers would love this message to be about rest. Sorry to disappoint you. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles, they didn't even have time to eat. How many people know that's a lie? There's always time to eat. And all the people said? The Bible is deliberate about wanting us to understand that these apostles, they are hungry and that they are tired. Anybody ever been there? Keep moving. It says, verse 32, it says, so they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone, but many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran along the shore, and they got there ahead of them. The people beat Jesus to church, y'all. Can you believe that? They got there before the Lord did. And verse 34, Jesus saw the huge crowd as they stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. I love that Jesus had compassion on the crowds. And you know what he did? He taught. He didn't just placate. He didn't just have kind words. He didn't want to just make them feel good and rub their backs. Jesus had compassion upon them, and so he taught them. That's good. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's good. Verse 35 says, late in the morning, his disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages to buy something to eat. I love this because nowhere in the text does it actually tell us that the crowds are hungry. It just says that the disciples were hungry. Amen. Come on. It says that to me that the disciples are more careful to show their discretion than they are to show their zeal. But verse 37, it says that Jesus says, you feed them. You feed them. Turn to your neighbor and say, you feed them then. We are so often the answer to our own prayer requests. Jesus tells us to do something, and we think he's asking us as if it's like a point of like, hey, did you think about this? Why don't you try this? And we think that, well, what can we do? And we says that he says they're hungry, and Jesus is not saying, why don't you feed them? He's responding to the fact that we are so inclined to list out all of the excuses for why we can't do something in our life. I don't know if this is message is going to make us all feel very good today now that I'm going through it. And they say, Jesus, feed them with what? We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. That's so like us. We want to come up with every reason for why we're unable. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough resources. We come up with every reason for why we can't obey what the Lord is telling us to do. And I see here that I probably imagine Jesus, when he hears this, because he's letting them kind of list off and rattle off their excuses for why they can't obey. Because you have to understand, Jesus is not bringing up an idea. He says, oh, why don't you do this? He's telling them, you feed them. It's not a question. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. And so in verse 38, he lets them give off all their excuses, and then he asks this question. How much bread do you have? Turn to your neighbor and say, how much bread you got? Turn to your other neighbor and say, like, in your pocket right now, how much bread you got? And then he says, go and find out. Jesus, you can't ask me that. You can't ask me how much bread I got, Lord. And Jesus is asking us the same question even in our time. What do you have? How much time do you have? How much faith do you have? We pray for more from God when we haven't even been good stewards of what he's already given us. So Jesus says, go and find out. Why? Here's my first point. The elements for your miracle are already with you. The elements for your miracle are already with you. Like Brother Chris was just telling us, they're just in seed form. We devalue the seed that God has given us because it doesn't look like a harvest. It looks like a seed. What I love about a big Sunday, an eventful Sunday, a hardworking Sunday like Easter Sunday that we just had, is that it always illuminates to us the miracles that are in the house. It's just that they've been in seed form. And what I love about Easter is it's a time of watering the seeds that have been planted. It's a time of fertilizer going on top of the seed and the sun bringing it out to blossom, to break through. Amen. It's a time of breakthrough. What I love is in our Easter time, there were so many examples of people from just last weekend of stepping forth and breaking through and showing. And it's just like, man, I can't believe that these miracle seeds were in our church the entire time. And there's people that stepped up and were a part of the choir. And just in being a part of the choir, we were like, oh, my Lanta, you have an angelic voice. Seeds that were in our midst the whole time. Seeds of people in whom were here, and that table was built with bare hands of a couple men in our church. I was just like, dear God, like, I have trouble putting Lego sets together. Like, that beautiful table in which I stood on at one point, I was like, probably shouldn't do that. I was like, okay, praise the Lord. Stepped off, and seeds. I mean, seeds of people, just people's generosity is just coming through. Like, there was that line. I don't know if you came to the Easter service, the second service last week, but we had an ice cream truck. I'm sorry if you missed it. And there was lines of people going there trying to get some ice cream. And we just invited the truck to come, you know, and say, hey, get some ice cream. But talk about a seed of someone and their gifts. They heard that they were charging for ice cream. And someone said, well, you know what we should do? We should just make it free for everybody. And I was like, cool, great idea. Walked away. I was like, thanks for your suggestion. No, that interaction didn't happen because I came to discover that one of the guys in our church walked over and said, hey, here's my credit card. Put the whole bill on me for everybody. I'm just like, these miracle seeds that were in our soil the whole time. It's just incredible. And there was young people that stepped up to volunteer and to serve. Young people. There was a young man who had a tournament, a cricket tournament that weekend. And the young man who just said, cricket tournament? It's Resurrection Sunday. Why am I going to go to some tournament? I'm here. It's Easter. Who came in and devoted the whole weekend to serving. A young man. There's miracle seeds in the soil. And Jesus, in this passage, I believe he's testing their faith, and he's wondering, what do you see? What kind of bread you got? Go and find out. What do you see? He says, go have a look. Because the disciples, they got a vision problem. They cannot see the one who's shown them the miracles of deliverance and of healing and of power over even wind and waves. They see Jesus in the supernatural, but they cannot see him in the natural. They see a God that can only do the big things, not realizing we serve a God that cares about the little things. And so they're like, he can do the big stuff, but what would he care about lunch for? Here's what I tell you. Jesus cannot multiply what we do not recognize. Jesus cannot multiply what we do not recognize. And I think sometimes we don't recognize that Jesus cares about the little, the smallest things, the smallest miracles in our life. We think healing of our body, sure. Eternity, yup. Supernatural blessing, fantastic. Thank you, Lord. But lunch? Why would the Lord care about lunch? Don't waste your power, Jesus. There's a Whole Foods in the next town. God wants to help you with your job, for sure. God wants to help you in your marriage, in your relationship. God, listen, I've got kids. One of the things I've discovered about my kids and teaching them the ways and how to trust in the Lord cares about your boo. He also cares about your boo-boos. And my little girls get scraped up, and they're crying, and they're like, Dad, what am I going to do? And I'm teaching them, have you thought to pray about it? Heal this cut so it heal fast, go away, and leave no scar in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can I get a Band-Aid? Yeah, but we pray first. Praise the Lord. They came back, the disciples did, and reported, we got 5 loaves of bread, and we got 2 fish. That's it. Here's my next point. Don't underestimate the power of your seed. Don't underestimate the power of your seed. Where did the 5 loaves and 2 fish come from? We know there's a parallel passage of this account, this miracle in John chapter 6. We know that a little boy offered up his lunch. And the Bible, my Bible at least, kind of annotates this section of scripture as Jesus feeds the 5,000. You've probably heard it before, is that the only thing is there probably was not just 5,000. In that time, it was only the men that were counted. So it was about 5,000 men. Could have easily been 10,000 total. 15,000 scholars believe probably were there in the account. And in that passage of probably about 15,000 people, we hear one story of one boy, only one, that packed a lunch. But the thing about it is, if there was one boy that packed a lunch, how many people know there were probably other boys that packed a lunch? What I think happened is there was an underestimation of the seed that was present in their midst. I imagine the disciples are probably like, okay, Jesus, which is so like us. This is what we do when we have to do something that we don't really agree with. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, Jesus, like, let's go see how much food we got, guys. Okay, let's figure out if we can feed everybody. And they're walking around, hey, anybody got any food? We got to feed 5,000. Anybody? Right? Just so that, like, I know that they were dying to prove Jesus wrong. And only the innocent naivete, praise God. Amen. Like we do, we look at the enormity of our problems, the magnitude of our problems, and we think, because I can't do everything, I will do nothing. And we do nothing instead of one thing that might activate everything. We talk about this small seed. We talk about this little boy. Which is why the Bible so encourages us to have faith of a child. Childlike faith. Because it was this little boy that heard, hey, we got to feed the 5,000, who offered up his little lunch. It's thinking about our gift when it's really about God, who's given us all that we even have to have something to give. I think about this boy, and it wasn't just the little boy. If it was a little boy, that means somebody packed his lunch. It's probably a good mom. And all the mom said, do you think when she was packing that boy's lunch, she thought to herself she was packing the ingredients for a miracle on that day? It's amazing that the ones who brought the stuff for that miracle on that day, actually in that time would have been people who were uncounted. When you do unto God, can I tell you this? Everything matters. When you give unto God, when you serve unto God, when you obey unto God, can I tell you every little bit of that counts? And maybe you're in this room this morning and you feel as though you've been uncounted. You feel like what you've been doing in your home, in your business, in your church, in your community, you feel like it just doesn't count. You feel like it doesn't matter. It's insignificant. You feel like it's not enough. Maybe sitting here, even as you think about yourself, you feel like you're not educated enough, you're not talented enough, you're not gifted enough, you're not smart enough, you're not resourced enough, you're not strong enough, you're not committed enough, you're not hopeful enough. Anybody ever felt like that? The good news today is that when you bring your not enough into the hands of the more than enough, it's the recipe for a miracle. And then Jesus tells the disciples, sit down in groups on the green grass because our good shepherd leads us to green pastures. He says they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. I love how Jesus' miracle was delegated and it was ordered. Jesus' miracle was delegated and ordered. That before the miracle came, Jesus, I see, shows and wants to know that there's a capacity to contain the blessing that he's about to bring. And in some churches, not our church, but in some churches, you have people who say, Pastor, what about my vision? What about what I want to accomplish? That's great, but for the miracle that's about to happen right now, Jesus is like, I need you to do this. I need you to arrange yourself like this. And we have some people probably that would have complained and said, Jesus, I want my food. I want my fish given to me by from Simon or from Matthew. I don't want them to give it to me. No, I want my fish straight from you, Lord Jesus. And I can imagine Jesus saying, well, that's nice that you're looking for that, but I'm distributing the fish in this way. I wonder how many people would have been upset that they didn't get their fish directly from Jesus. And the truth is, we all value and we love the benefits of community, but so many of us do not want to hear about submission, authority, and order of structure. But the kind of nutrition system that Jesus had planned for us was an orderly fashioned one. The miracle would not start until there was order. And so everyone is sat in groups, sat in 50, 100 sections. In verse 41, Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up towards heaven and he blessed them. Jesus blessed what was never going to be enough. Jesus blessed what was never going to be enough. What does it mean to bless? To give thanks. And for us in that moment, if I saw Jesus take 5 loaves and 2 fish, looking out at this crowd of tens of thousands, I would have saw him blessing and been like, this dude is crazy. What is he doing? And what we would naturally want to curse, this is it. Jesus blessed and gave thanks for. What if we started blessing, giving thanks for the not enough? What if we started blessing, thanking God for the areas in our life that actually were lack? I know we don't want to claim it. I know we don't want to, you know, accept it. I know we don't want to like claim mediocre and not enough. I know we want to be a blessed, abundant life. Trust me, I'm with you. Amen. But what if our faith was so strong, so expectant, that we had the capacity to not ignore the lack in our lives, but to say to Lord, thank you for the not enough. Thank you for the not enough patience that I have with my kids. Thank you for the not enough money that I have in my bank account to fund what I'm trying to fund. Lord, thank you for the not enough in my family. Thank you for the not enough in my business, the not enough in my home, because you had such a strong faith and expectation that you're not enough with his more than enough is always enough. Jesus blessed what was never going to be enough. And yet they gathered and still said, man, what's about to happen? And in verse 41, it says, he broke the loaves into pieces, and he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. You ever thought about this brokenness? Sometimes brokenness releases a miracle. Sometimes brokenness releases a miracle. Sometimes you can't even begin to start receiving the miracle that God has for you until you start admitting the brokenness in your life. I need to write that down. I'm sorry. Because that speaks to your boy. Don't hide from your brokenness. Sometimes the brokenness is the first step to God actually doing something in your life. And Jesus kept breaking the bread and he kept breaking the fish so as to continue the miracle in their midst. Jesus uses broken things for his purpose. Did you know that? I can talk about this now because it's not Easter Sunday and we're not all in our Sunday's best anymore. Amen. Had really nice cream slacks last week. I put on the khaki work pants today. Okay? Because what we tend to do is we look around and we see everybody all dressed up and we immediately think to ourselves, they got it all together, but I'm broken. I can see how God can use them, but I can't use me. And we think of every reason, we think of every part of our brokenness that disqualifies us or separates us from God. I told you to put on my work pants, right? What kind of brokenness are you carrying today? Maybe you had that abortion. Maybe you left that marriage. Maybe you cheated on your spouse. Maybe you lied to your loved one. Maybe you stole from that business. I don't know what your brokenness is in your life. But the gospel truth is this. There's nothing too big for Jesus to forgive, for Jesus to redeem, and for Jesus to set you forth on a new path in a new life of freedom and forgiveness. Can we praise the Lord for that right now? Come on. Jesus is the one that works all things for his glory. He works all things for his glory. And it was the brokenness that released a miracle. The breaking of the bread and the breaking of his body. In verse 42, as we continue on, it says they all ate as much as they wanted. My kind of buffet right there. Y'all, we had a buffet last Sunday after the second service. I keep telling you this because so many of you just came to the first service last week. I'm sorry. We deliberately kept you in the dark so that we'd have people come to the first service last week. Praise the Lord. But we had a buffet afterwards in the second service. And wouldn't you know it, somehow, some way, we ended up with exactly one pan of the meat, one pan of the green beans, and one pan of the mashed potatoes and gravy left over. We're going to bring it to our homeless veterans this week. But it says here, they ate as much as they wanted. I love our God. He's the God of abundance. Amen. Verse 43 says, afterward, the disciples, they picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. Here it is, the leftovers. Someone say the leftovers. For 12 disciples, that's a basket per disciple. And Jesus tells them, pick up the 12 leftover baskets. Because the power of the miracle isn't actually what was eaten. The power of the miracle is what was left over. We think the miracle is eating the food, getting fed. Amen. On a Sunday, we get to eat. Food's being passed out left and right every Sunday when we gather. You just have to decide to eat. Amen. Sunday's awesome. But the point of the miraculous of what God does in your life isn't just for Sunday. The point is for your Monday, for your Tuesday, for your Wednesday. And after the miracle, the disciples, they had just been witnesses to the miracle multiplication of the bread and the fish. And can I just tell you something that we're about to read? They're about to completely forget it ever happened. You can be in the presence of a miracle, play a part in the miracle, touch the miracle, experience the miracle, and still completely forget who the miracle worker is in your life. I've seen it to be true in my own life. We have this stupid thinking that thinks, oh man, if people really encountered God, like, man, there's no way that they could ever turn away from God. Have you lived this life long enough? I have seen people encounter miracles of God. Miracles. I have been with people who have seen the supernatural power of the Lord turn their back from God. So it's not about seeing, touching, or experiencing the miracle. I promise you that. And in here, the miracle is never about what you're not or what you don't have. The miracle is about remembering the miracle worker. And so right after they gather the leftovers, you know what Jesus does? Jesus says to pick up the fragments, the scraps, the broken pieces, and he says, take it with you. In verse 44, it says that a total of 5,000 men and their families were fed, and that's where we stop. That's where we stop the offering talk, and we say, and God can multiply whatever you put in his hands. Let's all receive the offering now. Amen. We never read past this part of the scripture. But there is more. In verse 45, it says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across to the lake to Bethsaida. And while he sent the people home, after telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills to pray by himself. And later that night, verse 47, the disciples were in their boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on the land, and he saw that they were in serious trouble. Come on, Jesus always can see when you're in serious trouble. Can I get an amen? He saw they were in serious trouble, and they were rowing hard, struggling against the wind and the waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on the water. He intended to go past them, but when they saw him walking on the water, I am here. Jesus has had to say that to me before. Kino, take courage. I'm with you. That's helped me. And then he climbed into the boat, and the wind stopped. They were totally amazed. Look at this. They were totally amazed for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts were too hard to take in. What? For they still didn't understand the miracle of the loaves. Ladies and gentlemen, we call that a callback in comedy. He's reminding them about something that just had happened earlier. What they didn't realize was he had told them, bring the fragments, bring the leftovers with you. There would have been some fish heads, some fish bones. There would have been some breadcrumbs. Can you imagine what those leftovers would have looked like in that bag? Can you imagine Jesus like, yeah, pack it all up, take it with you, like Kurt? Come on, you oversee hospitality. Like, when the end of the meal is done and, you know, all the people in church, they just eat and they put it away, they leave, you're there. Can you imagine taking bags of all of people's scraps and leftovers, bringing it with you on a boat? Why broken pieces? Why scraps? Why fragments? Why couldn't he just have done the new miracle on the other side? Why all these things in to-go bags? I believe because Jesus was wanting to show them, I want you to take the evidence of the miracle I did in your midst today into your storms of tomorrow. I want you to remember that the same God who was with you when you were in need is going to be the same God that will be with you when you even need again. The same God that is with you when you are on the top of the mount, seeing the multiplicative blessing of God, is the same God that's going to be with you when you find yourself in the darkest of storms. It's the same God that is going to take you to the other side. It's the same God that's going to sustain you. Let it not just be platitude, but let it be the real revelation of your life. Because we've all had those moments of high with God, haven't we? I pray that you have. I pray that you've known what it is to have a radical high encounter with the Lord, where he's showed up, done something magnificent in your life to where you can unequivocally say, but unto God. I pray that all of us, regardless of your age, would know what it is to have that youthful zeal for the Lord at some point in your life. And I remember my wife and I, man, you know, when we've been serving as pastors now for 10 years this year. And I remember when we were first stepping into it, we were newly married, and man, we were so young and dumb. And she was just wrapping up college, and we were about to move to Richmond, and I remember her dad asking her, what are you going to do? Like, you just graduated college with your degree, and it was a photography degree? Praise the Lord. What are you going to do with that? And he just said, how are you guys going to survive? He's leaving the corporate world to do full-time ministry. He says, you guys are going to be poor. What are you going to do? And my wife, man, I say this with genuine love because I was the same way. My wife was, we were just both dumb. We were dumb. My wife said, Dad, we're just going to trust in the Lord to take care of us. I was just like, you go, girl. Now, as a dad of 3 kids, I'm going to ask those questions as well. And if one of these punk boys one day give me that answer, I'm going to be like, show me your pay slips, my friend. I need to see some money. That faith that my wife had to be able to say in our early days, when we just were like that little boy, I got to feed 5,000. I got a lunchbox. That same faith that my wife had in those early days, man, can I just tell you? We've gone through some trials. We've gone through some challenges. We've gone through seasons where we were like, how are we going to make these ends meet? And we've been able to lean back on that time, that revelation, where my wife was said, but you know what, honey? We're going to trust that God is going to provide for us. That was my wife taking the leftovers of that moment of faith, taking it into her boat, and walking with the leftovers of, if my God did it once, he will surely do it again. If you receive the word this morning, give God some praise. Worship team, come on up. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Amen? Won't he do it? He will. So, what's your leftover story? Amen? What's your bag of leftovers look like? When's the last time you went back to your leftovers? I know it's not always, you know, the most luxurious looking thing. I know we'd so rather have a new meal. Amen. I'd so rather have. Why get leftovers? We could go out to eat. Amen. But sometimes, man, there's a good thing. There's a God thing of going back to the leftovers. I'm not talking about food anymore. Talking about, man, what are those things that sustain you in God in your seasons past that are meant to be nourishing to you again? Stop chasing after a new word. Man, stop chasing after a new revelation. Because we serve the God that wants to take the leftovers that he's already given us into our future. Amen? I'll close with a passage of scripture in John chapter 6. Another take, an account from another gospel of this encounter. Because they said they found him on the other side of the lake and said, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus said, I'll tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs, but don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. And they replied, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? And Jesus told them, this is the only work that God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. They said, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. And the scriptures say that Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. But Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And it was at that word that they said, sir, give us that bread every day. And Jesus replies, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you have seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me and will never reject. I'll never reject them. For I've come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those that he's given me, but that I should raise them up at the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Have you taken part of this bread of life? Do you know what it is to not be so preoccupied and worried about the bread of this life? Because there is one that truly shows us the eternal bread, the bread of life. It is Jesus. He is the bread of life. If you've never known what it is to receive Jesus like that, receive him, believe in him, receive the forgiveness of sin, receive his provision and care, receive his love and forgiveness. Man, it'd be my great honor and pleasure to pray with you and to pray for you all across this place. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord Jesus, you know every single person here. I pray over them, Lord, that even in this moment now, you'd soften hearts. God, that you'd help even believers to go back, to know what it is to partake again of the leftovers of your goodness, of what you've already brought into their life. Help us, Lord Jesus.